So starting with a little story today, in ancient Greek mythology, we find the tale of Zeus and Prometheus. Prometheus steals fire from Zeus to bring it to humans, which enrages the supreme Greek god. So Zeus creates a box that contains all manner of troubles, unbeknownst to the box's earthly recipient, whose name was Pandora. And though warned not to, Pandora opens the box and unleashes a multitude of harmful spirits that inflict plagues, diseases, and misery on humankind. Spirits of greed, envy, hatred, mistrust, sorrow, anger, revenge, despair, and more scatter far and wide, just looking for people to torment. However, someone said horrible. True. However, from this very same box, a healing spirit is also released, named hope. And from ancient times, people have recognized that the spirit of hope has the power to heal afflictions and help them bear times of great suffering, disasters, and loss. Times like today. Of course, the world has always had an abundance of such woes, but we live in a unique era. Never before has the cumulative damage been so extensive and so impactful of the future. But what is similar about our situation and those of all past eras is that the spirit of hope is a vital element in dealing with our situation. Now, the word hope is used in different ways. On the most basic and perhaps widespread level, it's simply a kindly affirmation of others. People say things like, "I hope you're doing well," and "I hope you have a wonderful vacation." We could almost think of such statements as a type of secular blessing. Another prevalent use of hope tends to be more self-focused. Most of us at some time or another have found ourselves saying or thinking things like, "I hope I get this job," or "I hope my team wins," or "I hope I don't get sick." What are we really saying when we use hope this way? This is what I want or don't want, right? This is hope as desire. One might even say as a mild form of covetousness. And from a quasi-Buddhist perspective, this kind of hope casts a big psycho-spiritual shadow because it's deeply attached to outcomes. So first, while hoping for a particular result, people can worry themselves sick about whether whatever they've pinned this kind of hope on will turn out as they like. And as others have noted, worry is the biggest waste of energy in the world, as it does nothing to affect the outcome. Second, if we don't get the result we hope for, the other shadow face appears, called disappointment. And if a person is too deeply invested in a certain outcome, disappointment can slide into despair. A short step from hope as desire is hope as blatant wishful thinking. "I hope I kick over a rock and find $1 billion. It's gone up with inflation. My soulmate and a cure for cancer." Here's where hope gets a particularly bad rap for being Pollyanna-ish and naive, which is just what this kind of ungrounded, or to use a common term, false hope is. And to insert a theological note, this Christmas season of hope is only constructive if we apply Jesus' egalitarian teachings on love and compassion. The Christian blessed hope of a Messiah that will A, save your soul, and B, one day return to redeem the world is just one more idle fantasy dressed up in religious garb. All that being the case, a lack of hope whatsoever is deadening, sometimes even deadly. For if human beings become, to use another word for hopeless, truly dispirited, they have no will to live. However subtle it might be, if on some level we are not inspired, we expire. And this inspiration comes from another kind of hope entirely. It comes from hope as a deep and compelling yearning or vision for something greater and better than the current reality. To paraphrase the poet Rabindranath Tagore, this is hope as the bird that feels the light and sings when the dawn is still dark. This is the hope Lin Yutang means when he writes, hope is like a road in the country. There never was a road, but when many people walk on it, the road comes into existence. This is the hope that the late Buddhist teacher and systems thinker Joanna Macy calls active hope. And active hope is based on a simple yet profound human power, the power of choice. Active hope means choosing to participate in bringing about what we hope for. It has three main steps. First, take a clear view of one's current reality. So it doesn't involve denial or false hope, both of which are lamentably so rife today. Second, get clear on the values and direction we want to move things toward. And third, we take steps, actions, to move the situation in that direction. Before speaking on this last step, I want to take a moment on the second. There are many expressions of healthy and inclusive values and directions worth moving toward. And in my view, one of these is our UU principles, most of which were first drafted more than half a century ago. So I think they're worth recalling today. And if you ever want to look them up, they're in the front of your gray hymnal, or of course online. There's a little preamble that starts. We, the member congregations of the Unitarian Universalist Association covenant, that is agree, to affirm and promote, one, the inherent worth and dignity of every person. Two, justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. Three, acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations. Four, a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. Five, the right of conscience and the use of the democratic process within our congregations and in society at large. Six, the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. Seven, respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. And just a few years ago, an eighth principle was also proposed, which has been adopted by numerous congregations on a grassroots level. It reads, journeying towards spiritual wholeness by working to build a diverse, multicultural, beloved community by our actions that accountably dismantle racism and other oppressions in ourselves and our institutions. Notice that UUism doesn't just consider and discuss these values. Our covenant is to affirm and promote them, to move them from our minds and hearts to our mouths and hands. As a result, we may at times find ourselves in one area or another of the civic arena, advocating for certain policies or systemic changes, not with any single perspective or ideology, but with the intent to actualize our professed values. Returning to Active Hope's third element, taking steps to move the situation in our chosen direction. Here's the thing. We don't need to be optimistic, that is hopeful, about the results of our efforts. Instead, we can take up our chosen actions as a practice, like Tai Chi or journaling or playing an instrument. And when we do, we might be surprised to find that it stirs up our life spirit, that it indeed inspires us. For as Barack Obama said, the best way to not feel hopeless is to get up and do something. If you go out and make some good things happen, you will fill the world with hope and you will be filled with hope. Excuse me. This is in part what's meant by be the change you want to see in the world. Yet since it's rare to be the change all at once or all by ourselves, people often join with others to help others in becoming the change. And UUCPA and other UU congregations are among the places that can support our powers to choose and to act in ways that further our values rather than passively accepting what is and saying, I hope it gets better. Such community is vital for most folks, partly because active hope is contagious. Like consistently nourishing our bodies, people need to regularly feed our spirits with this kind of hope, because it's fuel for what we aspire to do. Plus, we're all different, and so have different gifts we can apply. Being with others can often help us view our own gifts more clearly, as well as see ways to apply them we might not be aware of, thus opening new pathways toward creating what we seek to achieve. So embed yourself in situations and with people who infect you with active hope. This communal energy is one big part of all 12-step programs where people gather to share their, quote, experience, strength, and hope. Profound personal healings and restorations occur in such places, and these can also occur collectively. Reprising poet Tracy K. Smith from our reading, and then our singing brought on a different manner of weather. Then animals long believed gone crept down from trees. We took new stock of one another. We wept to be reminded of such color. So in this season of growing darkness and cold, including cold-heartedness by some, remember that this is not here forever. And in this dusky cultural Pandora's box time, if we're tempted to believe the unhopeful and unhelpful illusion that whatever we do won't matter, let's recall a wise Chinese proverb. It is better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. Today, our chalice flame can be that candle. I invite you to focus your gaze on it. Really see it. And take a full breath. Now, close your eyes. Take another breath. Then in the dimness, envision that flame still shining. And ask yourself, what one candle can I light this coming week? What's one specific expression of active hope that can help bring more of the change I want to be, more of the light I want to see into the world? It can be very small, but take a few moments now to choose one thing and prayerfully commit to doing that this week. Thank you. Please open your eyes. Reflecting on this reminded me of an apocryphal tale about Protestant reformer Martin Luther. When asked what he would do if the world were about to end, Luther supposedly replied, "I would go out and plant a tree." Now that's active hope in a nutshell. And in that spirit, since we're employing several poems today, here's a little closing rhyme. Light your candle, plant your tree. Active hope from you and me. Till the world is whole and free. Say namaste and blessed be.